This is The Source on Texas Public Radio. I'm David Martin Davies. Mayor Gina Ortiz-Jones is launching several economic initiatives for the city of San Antonio. Today, she will be announcing an economic security advisory group. She soon will be making an expedition to Taiwan. Later down the line, there is an upcoming SA to DC trip. And Mayor Jones is in the studio now to tell us more. If you've got a question or comment, call in 833-877-8255, 833-TPR-TALK. And Mayor Jones, thanks for coming in. Welcome back. Tell me about this Economic Security Advisory Group.
Yeah, well, I'm pretty excited about it. A couple of things that are shaping my thoughts on why this is necessary now. You know, one of the very first conversations I had with Governor Abbott, he was pretty clear that, and he said it in so many words, San Antonio needs to up its economic development game. He said it just like that. And since then, I have focused heavily on how we do economic development at the city, as well as with some of the partners that we obviously fund to do that. So that's one piece of it. The second part of it is just kind of knowing my background, both in economic and national security, we know where these things are going. And so San Antonio can either lead or can get left behind, and I say we lead. So the Economic Security Group that I'm announcing this afternoon will focus on four areas. One, artificial intelligence. Two, quantum technology. Three, biotechnology. And then four, space manufacturing. These are areas, again, where both economic and national security are going. We are well positioned given some of the advantages we already have in our community, our talented advanced manufacturing workforce, our large cyber presence. And so I think harnessing that through the help of a strategic advisory group enables us to compete, not only strengthen the ecosystem that we've got here, but I think grow that as well. So I'm pretty excited about launching that. And to your point, I will also be leading a delegation to Taiwan. And as evident of how I will use this advisory group, at least two folks, actually three, now that I think about the full list, three of the advisory group folks will travel with me to Taiwan. I think we've got to make sure that, you know, these trade delegation trips are as fruitful as they can be, and helping some local expertise and local economic leaders be part of that is going to be critical. So very excited about this and ensuring that San Antonio can compete in these areas.
So when you talk about these main areas like AI and cybersecurity and
AI, quantum, so these are very different.
Yes, they are very different.
Okay.
You know, quantum is one of those things that blows my mind. You know, hopefully we'll get there. But San Antonio's already got so much going on in these areas, like at Port San Antonio, an incredible space where a lot of work is being done in space manufacturing.
Not a lot currently in space manufacturing. We've got one, really. A handful. But I think what's important for me is making sure that we are strengthening the linkages across. Because when you think about the innovations in AI and quantum and in biotechnology, there's innovations within those, but there's also innovations across those three, right, that we need to be taking advantage of. So a focused effort, I think, allows us to do that. And to your point, the port is very important. I very much appreciate the way in which Jim has led Port San Antonio, and so much so that he's going to chair the Economic Security Advisory Group.
Yeah, and the point is that we're not just starting from zero and just coming up with like, oh, what would we want, and not having any background in these areas. There's a lot of smart people and ambitious corporations already here doing some of this work already. It's things to build from.
There's a strong foundation, for sure. And I think that's why, you know, making sure that we're being targeted and strategic to ensure that the trajectory of our city in these areas in particular is the strongest that can be. That's why I think, a group coming together focused specifically on these things is important.
All right. So you have the trip to Taiwan. Can you tell me about what's entailed with that?
Yeah. Well, I mean, as you know, folks know, economic development has been something I've really tried to prioritize. The Taiwan delegation that I hosted last fall, I mean, that continues to pay dividends. We know that one was successful because that Taiwanese delegation sent one picture back to their business journal, and it was a picture from our engagement. So some of the follow-on meetings that I will have in Taiwan are actually because of that delegation meeting. The Taiwanese have been, I think, very appreciative appreciative of our continued outreach. And that's what we need to do because, you know, we're not Houston. We're not Dallas. A lot of the consulates are based in Houston. So I think, you know, the outreach that I've done, our continued interest and highlighting, again, what's possible in San Antonio. I have to remind people constantly that, look, it's 15% higher to do business in Austin than it is the national average. And, oh, by the way, it's 10% lower in San Antonio. So just that 70-mile difference, you've got a 25% delta in cost of doing business. Oh, by the way, I would argue our quality of life is second to none. So telling the San Antonio story, demonstrating the ways in which we're trying to lean forward to address some of these key economic and, frankly, national security gaps that our community is well postured to do, I think only makes us all the more competitive. So telling that, sharing that story in Taiwan as they look to bring more capabilities and additional partners to the U.S., but in particular Texas. They really like Texas. They were very clear about that when they visited us last. So I think we need to continue to engage, and hopefully we'll see some of that materialize here.
Is there a particular sector in Taiwan that you're looking at?
Well, look, you can't talk about Taiwan without talking about advanced manufacturing, right? I mean, look, TSMC, the semiconductors, some of that technology we don't even have in the United States, right? And so that investment in Phoenix was critical, the TSMC plant there. And so, you know, we, again, need to be, I think, at the forefront for those kinds of investments because we've got strategic advantages like land, like the fact that we own both of our utilities, et cetera, and again, a great workforce. So in particular, I think semiconductor production, any aspect of that, frankly, if you want to do printed circuit boards assembly, any of that, I think we're well postured for on top of the advanced manufacturing.
Yeah, and their supply chain situation is very Absolutely. Compact and highly orchestrated. Mm-hmm. It's puts the U.S. supply chain to shame because it's not spread out. It's all basically, you know, in one campus. So it makes things happen from the development to finding the right silicon to and then processing that, creating the chips, and then also the programming, the design of these things. And they're generations ahead mm-hmm. in developing these chips and then working on them to make sure that they produced at a high rate of success. There's a lot there that, you know, if San Antonio could get a piece of it, then the rest would follow, I would think.
Well, that's exactly the theory of the case, and that's why I'm going. And we'll continue to invest in that relationship. It's as important as anything that we've done previously, Japan, South Korea, et cetera. So I'm very excited about the trip and excited about the delegation that I'll be leading there. The other thing that I'm actually also participating in, it's a Smart City Summit. And I'm thankful, one of the other perches I chair the U.S. Conference of Mayors Tech and Innovation Committee. I was thankful to be appointed to that. So, you know, again, the ways in which we can use all of these opportunities to highlight what's possible in San Antonio is, I think, you know, a win-win for us.
And when's the trip to Taiwan?
So I will leave this Saturday.
Wow, that's soon.
I'll leave this Saturday, and then I'll touch back here in San Antonio for about a day-ish. And then we head to D.C. for the San Antonio to D.C., SA to D.C. trip, which will, I think, be a good opportunity to highlight some of the lessons learned, right, just on the heels of the Taiwan trip, but also advocate for the things that are top of mind in our community. Not surprisingly, it's going to be, you know, the future, the state, obviously with the, you know, the new DHS secretary here to be confirmed. But of course, we want more transparency into these federal immigration activities. To this day, my office and neither the city staff has been outreached by ICE. And
they have not outreached.
Nothing. To this day, nothing. Which, again, is at the very least disappointing, right? So that'll be top of mind. Certainly, you know, as we begin to see the implementation of the One Big Beautiful Bill, cuts to Medicare, Medicaid, CHIP, and SNAP, as we are, you know, grappling with those. As mentioned, we just did the tabletop in December. That helps us kind of think through some of the changes in the community that we may see. And then, of course, you know, the future of trade with the review of the USMCA deal. You know, as I mentioned, I was just at Toyota last week for a preview of their rear axle expansion, right? That's a $531 million expansion, 400 new jobs, 500,000 square feet, 500,000 rear axles that they'll now produce here in San Antonio. All of those rear axles will go to Mexico. And so it's really important that we keep those trade barriers down, because that means we are employing as many people locally here as possible, because we've kept the costs of those goods that are produced as low as possible. So that's why USMCA is so critical to San Antonio.
And frequently in past SA to DC trips, we talk about the importance of our military bases.
Of course.
And anything to put into that?
Well, look, I'll reiterate, of course, my support for another VA clinic. I get my own care at the VA. I think lots of folks are very happy about the new clinic, new-ish clinic at this point, off 151. But certainly, Audie Murphy is due for a refresh. And I know they're going through the economic review of that. And so they've asked for public comment. I look forward to sending in a letter of support. As you've heard me share, you know, our veteran population here is going against the national trend in that our population is growing. We also have the fastest growing female veteran population in the entire country. So all the more reason to make sure that the VA services are adequate for our community. And I'll advocate for that.
We're taking a break here, speaking with Mayor Gina Ortiz-Jones, talking about her economic initiatives for the city as she goes out to promote San Antonio around the world and up to D.C. and talking about initiatives for AI and quantum computing and space construction. There's a lot going on there. We're going to talk, get some callers on the air when we come back. 833-877-8255, 833-TPR-TALK. The Source continues when we come back.
Support for the Source podcast comes from UT Health San Antonio, South Texas' largest academic research institution, where what is discovered in its labs translates into life-changing patient care. More at uthealthsa.org.
You're listening to The Source on Texas Public Radio. I'm David Martin Davies. With me in the studio, Mayor Gina Ortiz-Jones. We've been talking about several economic initiatives that she's launching for the city. And you can call in with your questions and comments, 833-877-8255, 833-TPR-TALK. Let's go to Rick on the phones. And Rick, you're on the air. Go ahead.
Yeah, so I was wondering if we were going to be able to get any sister cities, any new sister cities. I know when we had Toyota, that whole partnership going down, we got a sister city out of that. So I always thought that was kind of a cool concept, the exchange of ideas and technologies, and that kind of follows that same vein that you're looking in going abroad. And so getting a sister city in Taiwan, that would be kind of cool.
All right, Rick, thanks for that question. So Mayor Jones.
Yeah, great question. We actually already have a sister city in Taiwan. It's called Kaohsiung. Don't beat me up on the pronunciation, apologies. But one of the things I'm actually very excited about is we will, in Taiwan, we will be signing a three-way partnership letter of agreement with the two other cities, because Kumamoto, our sister city in Japan, and then Kaohsiung, our sister city in Taiwan, they also happen to be sister cities of each other. So we will sign a three-way and reiterate our commitment to doing exactly what you said, which is sharing ideas and certainly, you know, acting in a way in accordance with our values as democratic cities. To your point, though, I think, you know, these, what the sister cities have been and what they can be is something I have been interested in revisiting. These are things that have largely been kind of cultural and educational, and I think that's great. But Kumamoto is the Silicon Valley of Japan. Right. And so there is a way in which we can, I think, elevate our game in that area, if you will. Kaohsiung and Kumamoto, they both actually also have a TMFC presence in their communities. And so, you know, these are the kinds of things that I think a sister city can help us strengthen. Again, those cultural, educational ties, all that's really important. But I think the economic development piece is an area that I'd really like those to pay more dividends, and that's what I'll work on.
Let's go to Jimmy on the phones. And Jimmy, you're on the air.
Thank you. My question for the mayor is,
the economic cost to taxpayers of, not of her Taiwan trip, but of the jobs program she was talking about with the AI and the space construction. And because Ready to Work, I think a lot of us love Ron and voted for him, but I feel like we didn't get a great return on investment. So maybe she could speak to that.
All right, Jamie, thank you for the call.
Yeah, well, I mean, I agree. I don't think the Ready to Work program has paid the dividends that we thought it could. And I think it's healthy. And frankly, anyone would expect us to do this, which is after the years that it's been in implementation, we revisit and understand whether or not this is the best investment for our community. I think folks have seen me be very clear with, frankly, my dismay, the incumbent worker program. You know, when we are incentivizing large, multi-billion-dollar companies to giving them some kind of incentive. I was just with a multi-billion-dollar company, and we gave them an incentive of $100,000 for their incumbent worker program. These companies don't need that money, to be frank. And if we're doing that because we want to juice the numbers, I think there's a better approach to utilizing those resources, and I've advocated for that. So I think we can do. We will continue to try to work to improve that program moving forward.
Any cost that the caller mentioned for these programs?
Well, so the Economic Security Advisory Group, these are 11 individuals that are serving in their personal capacity and frankly leveraging their decades of experience in AI, in, as you mentioned, cybersecurity, but really, quantum as well. So there is not a cost to the city per se for establishing the Economic Security Advisory Group.
It's interesting how Port San Antonio is self-sustaining, doesn't need taxpayer input.
Well, I think, Jim, I was actually just there recently. One, I was visiting Boeing, our largest aerospace employer in the community, and then I was also visiting StandardAero. They do a lot of kind of the maintenance work on some of the aircraft. And look, Jim does a great job of, I think, continuing to help people reimagine what that part of our community needs to be. I think, they're bringing in, there's the childcare piece that they're looking at. They're looking at a grocery store, et cetera, et cetera. So, thankful for what that is and frankly, what that will continue to be.
Let's go to George. George, you're on the air. George, go ahead.
Oh, hey, good. Thank you, folks. Good to be on. Thank you, Ms. Mayor, for your service to our nation, by the way, before I get started. Appreciate that. Hey, look, I moved here a couple of years ago from Virginia. I'm a retired senior military officer and started my own coaching business and all of that. But, Ms. Mayor, my question would be, is what sort of plans do you have for active duty members transitioning out of the military, veterans who are out of the military, and their dependents from an economic development standpoint? What's your plans, if you have any, to help those folks actually start up businesses? As you and I both know, the skill sets that we acquire, there are literally hundreds of thousands of us who could actually go out and start a business if only the ingenuity and those who are empowered could actually help with that. So do you have any plans for that at all?
Yeah, no, I appreciate the question. I mean, so many folks retire in our community for the quality of life, but also precisely because of the many opportunities they have. Frankly, to many often will be doing the exact same thing they were doing in uniform. Now they're just doing it as a civilian and probably making three times as much. I think in particular, the cyber community, those working in the logistical fields, et cetera. But you're right, we can always do better. One of the things I'm appreciative of is the way in which you've got, the large companies, the USAA, the Valero, that have a commitment to hiring our veterans. But I was just at USAA the other week, and I was on a panel with my old battle buddy, the former Chief Master Sergeant of the Air Force, Joanne Bass. And we were talking about exactly this, which is what more can we do to better support our military spouses, which, as you know from your time, that's make or break, right? Whether somebody will continue their service or not. So I've taken that for action. I don't have anything to announce just yet, but I certainly understand how important that is, as we also, continue to invest in those quality of life things that are important not only for our active duty, but also for the veterans, again, that want to remain in our community. So things like childcare, things like early learning opportunities for their kids. So nothing to announce shortly now, but I believe we'll have something shortly on the military spouse piece.
And let's go to Joe. And Joe, you're on the air. Go ahead.
Well, how are you? Good morning, or good afternoon. Thank you, Ms. Mayor. Ma'am, I wanted to find out what your plan is for, and you know what you want to do with VHA, Veterans Health Administration. We, you know, I think that right now there hasn't been enough emphasis placed on, you know, getting the word out there, at least to your, you know, the council colleagues of yours, to help them understand.
Yep.
As the military, you know, for the entire DOD, you know, so what are your plan there? I mean, we got
okay,
jobs that are trying to get moved over here.
All right, Joe, you're cutting in and out, but I think we got the idea.
Well, what I heard is, how am I helping to advocate for veteran health care? I hope that was the question. So as I mentioned earlier, you know, one of the things that we'll continue to advocate for is ensuring that our VA facilities, veteran health care facilities, are meeting the moment. We have a fast growing veteran population in the community. We also have the fastest growing female veteran population. And so, you know, when they make changes in policies that make it harder for female veterans, for example, to get health care, that frankly goes in the opposite direction of the commitment that we made to my fellow, you know, brothers and sisters in arms. So I'll continue to advocate for, you know, the new VA facility that appears to be on the horizon, and make sure that the health care policies are as inclusive as they can be, to ensure that every veteran's service is respected.
So
I forgot. One of the things that female veterans do disproportionately is fail to sign up for their benefits. I've heard this time and time again. So one of the things that I volunteered to do is, as part, especially right now during Women's History Month, is to partner with our local VA and encourage our female veterans to take advantage of those benefits. It's not just health care. It's educational benefits. It's benefits to be able to buy a home, et cetera, et cetera. So, again, the very appreciative of all of my brothers and sisters in arms. So how I can help improve the application rate for those, I think, is not only good for the individual, but also good for our community.
The war in Iran, gas prices are surging. The price of oil went over $100 a barrel the last 24 hours. Mm-hmm. That's going to drive up gas prices. Any thoughts about how that's going to impact San Antonio?
Well, look, I think at the end, well, I certainly have several thoughts. But I think about our community members that are already suffering. Right. Prices are already too high. When you think about the impact of continued inflation, you think about the impact of tariffs in our community. And then we think about the impact of these short-sighted immigration policies that drive up labor costs. So all of that has made it already difficult for the community, as, again, on top of what we know is coming, cuts to Medicare, Medicaid, CHIP, and SNAP. So, you know, needless increases in any costs should be avoided, of course. And of course, Military City USA, we want to make sure that anything that we do with our men and women in uniform are the interest of vital national security interests. So you're very closely to ensure that our federal leaders can articulate the plan there, which is important not only for us, but for our partners and allies.
Mayor Gina Ortiz-Jones, thank you so much for coming in the studio today, taking callers' questions, talking about economic initiatives for San Antonio. Appreciate it. Have a good day. You got your press conference coming up now.
That's right. 1:30.
Yeah, so tune in for that. That's The Source on Texas Public Radio. Thanks for listening.
This has been The Source on Texas Public Radio. The Source is hosted by David Martin Davies. Tim Gutierrez is the show's producer. Additional production support from Steve Short, Ruben Garcia, Yvette Benavides, and Dan Katz, Vice President of News. The Source is made possible with support from the Gladys and Ralph Lazarus Foundation. Support for TPR comes from Texas Mutual Insurance Company, a workers' compensation provider committed to helping Texas communities and emphasizing safety. More at texasmutual.com/texansgetit.